Come out to Bluegrass Karting and Events and check out their all-new axe-throwing arenas. Make a night of it, and also enjoy their new full bar and expanded menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events, the fastest go-karts in Kentucky, and now axe-throwing arenas.
Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Before we have the discussion on Steve's idea on who can make this tournament run for the University of Louisville possible. Tough one for our women's team last night. That was it. Listen, tough loss for our number two ranked Louisville women's team. But I got to say, and I know y'all don't want to hear this. You never want to hear this out of me. Even though you know I'm telling the truth, like you want me to be sad. You want me to be, you know, angry and blame. And I'm saying that was an awesome game. And people, Miami just came with it. I saw the looks on their faces. They were so determined. Dana Evans hits a three. They come back and answer with an inside bucket. You know, Shook is hot from the outside. They answered every single time. My girl Huff, she was killing. Sam didn't have her best game. But here's the thing. They competed. It was an awesome game. Like, it's one of those late season Tennessee, they're going to say the same thing about Tennessee. They're going to say it's a good thing they lost it this time. Kind of get humbled, realize any team can beat you if you have an off night and you get back to the drawing board. Now, I didn't listen to Jeff Wall's actual post-game show, but I'm sure he probably echoed my sentiments. That Miami team played hard, played smart. And like I said, our inside, our rebounding, you know, actually, there wasn't a lot of rebounds because they were just money. So for those of you who are mad at me because I talked about how awesome they were playing, they were still playing awesome. Miami just played a whole lot better. Like I said, I hate to call Sam by herself. Asia was, you know, 1-for-7, or she's like 0-for-7 earlier. She kind of had the smile going like she knew this wasn't her night. So there were some things that were a little off, but again, credit to Miami. They showed up to play awesome game. Like I said, I hope anybody who's been following the girls all year long has not been discouraged. Like I said, you'll get it. You'll get another chance. Conference is right around the corner. And speaking of getting another chance, one more bit of housekeeping. Congratulations, Cameron Maben just signed with the San Francisco Giants.
Good job, San Francisco.
Good job, young cuz. You keep grinding away. Man, he's on his like 12th year in the league.
No, but he's still getting picked up.
How often do I send him that picture, the baby pictures when I'm babysitting him and stuff? How often would you remind
just you and him?
How often would you remind your 12-year MLB cousin that? Do you know how many times that I couldn't go, I couldn't leave the house because I had to babysit you? Uncle Rudy, do you know how many times you and Renee got to go to the club because you had a responsible 12-year-old kid in the house babysitting him?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's everything he is today because you and his dad.
I should listen. I felt guilty because, or I do feel guilty because every time Uncle Rudy comes in town, he always takes me to the steakhouse and he always just drops whatever and he says, have whatever, nephew, and keep it going. I feel a little guilty, right? But then I thought about it just, you know, yesterday or this morning.
That's a lot of back pay.
Yeah,
that's
you
fair.
You didn't pay me for babysitting Cam. Was like, Marcus, you babysitting Cam tonight, me and Renee going out.
Yeah.
Right, I think I got some Andy's Mints. One time,
yeah.
A big, like, multi-box.
Invite some honeys over.
Absolutely not. Right? But
honey.
No, I just babysitted. Look, babysitted and scrolled through. My grandma had one of them huge dishes back, you know, just the soup.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the
ones that look like you're trying to
communicate
with Mars.
This is probably even before this. Well, that was before this, but I remember when Prime Star come out.
See, I was in a different place, so tell me Prime Star. Is that the huge dish?
Yeah, Prime Star. Well, no, I know what you're talking about. That was already
the,
out.
The satellite stupid dish.
But Prime Star was like the first thing that come out that it was like, oh, man. It was like,
I got a million channels.
You got the box, and you got like all this stuff. And it was like my mom and dad, I was like, are we going to get Prime Star? Dad's like, no, we ain't going to do it. I'm like, dog. And then my buddy got Prime Star.
So it was like, yeah, we're good. No.
It was awesome.
Dude, that big dish. That huge dish.
Does anybody remember Prime Star? Is it somebody?
Text her 3831939. Make Steve feel
not crazy.
No, yeah, like I said, that
people are probably that's whack.
Those original big dishes, like if you stuck that in front of somebody's yard today, you would be like, dude, you're gonna get charged by the FBI.
Yeah,
they're gonna think you're communicating with Afghanistan if you had a dish that big in your front yard.
Absolutely. My dad had a CB tower antenna.
My grandma had it. It was awesome.
Massive. And I was like, dude, this is not okay.
This
like
is extreme.
He bought this huge thing and it was like on a then you know, it would go up, and like when you laid it down, I mean, it was way past across the yard. Like, it was crazy how tall it was.
So he had the power.
Like we had a national landmark in the back of our, it was insane.
Our guy Mr. Moore, kind of big dude, comes and hangs out at Applebee's with us. He has he loves CB radio stuff.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to have to talk to him about that.
Okay, like, all right,
You're going to learn so much so fast. He's a very interesting guy. By the way, I need to make sure, you know, we're on for the Road Gamer. We might have something else on deck, Steve, that you're going to be really excited about.
What, Wednesday?
Yes. So people, stay, listen.
Yay!
You want to follow Steve and I, because it may be a last minute call.
I legitimately don't know.
But we might be doing a road game somewhere, and we're going to be able to invite y'all out, and there are going to be some perks. But just sit tight. You know, your boy Maven, he takes a lot of phone calls, and you know, every day
I'm so excited.
Okay, I want to capture that energy, Steve.
Okay.
You think there's something on this team, there's something on this bench that can start or manifest itself into a Final Four run. I am fascinated and skeptical and all these other emotions. I'm listening.
Everybody says if they had one more guy. Have you heard that? Raise your hand in your car.
Not only have I heard that, I saw a post that said, if you could have one of these guys on this year's team, who would it be?
Yeah.
And it was everybody but me. Whoever posted that, you hurt my feelings. Even if somebody just said, even if nobody selected me.
Last thing we need is a wild two-guard gun that runs around and
dunks.
That's
exactly what you need on this team, a wild two-guard gun.
And you're right.
You do need that.
You're exactly right. And Saturday – not just Saturday, the last couple games, I think we've saw what this team needs molding into fruition. Everybody says they need one more guy. They need a guy that can come out, that can hit big shots here and there, that can play good defense, that can get the ball up the court, that can do all that. And that man is Darius Perry. If Louisville is somehow setting in Minneapolis, if Steve Rummage and Marcus Maven are making the drive to Minneapolis, Minnesota in the first week of April, it will be because Darius Perry has come alive at the end of the season. Now, am I saying he's got it and saying, oh, man, everything he's done, it's just it's coming together, everything's perfect? No. But I am seeing spots with Darius that's saying if he can get this momentum he has shifted, Louisville will have got their other guy.
Brian Hall, I want you to participate in this challenge. You listening?
I am.
Steve Rummage says, if we're in the Final Four, it's because Darius Perry has awoken, right?
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. There's no need for me to go into a long diatribe about why I disagree. But I can be won over. But I'll compete with this one. To me, if Stephen Enoch decides to post up under the basket and decides he's not going to think about it,
yep.
He's just going to catch the ball and gather his energy, you know, use the ball as a sort of a pulley, you know, to he doesn't use the ball to get his momentum. He doesn't use his back and his head and the basketball to get his momentum to dunk, right? If Steven decides wherever I catch it, it's 1 second and go, right?
Yeah.
I think he has the skill set to single-handedly put us in the Final Four.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong.
Brian, you cannot use Steven. You cannot use Darius Perry. Give me the fix to get this team in the Final Four. 81-50, 93-9 is the number, 38-31, 93-9 is the text line. Give us your one guy fix to get this team, like get this team firing on all cylinders.
I think you know what you got in guys like Kristen Cunningham, Dwayne Sutton, Jordan Wara. Those guys, you kind of know what you're going to get out of, have been pretty consistent for the most part throughout the year, pretty consistently solid players. Game to game, one will outperform the other. I get where both y'all are coming with your single picks. I was along the lines of Enoch in the sense that I think he's capable of being, you know, that third or fourth guy, and we need that big man presence. But because I can't pick either one of those two, I'm going to go with Malik Williams, but for the same kind of reasons that you are with Enoch, just because we need one of those two guys, and I think Enoch's getting to that point already, but we need a dominant big man if we're going to go very far in the tournament, somebody that when we get matched up against these bigger teams can help battle against them. I'm going to say that Malik Williams, just because, you know, Malik Williams and Stephen Enoch are kind of the same player, even though they have different builds.
Right.
Just because they both can stretch the floor. They're both difference makers on the defensive end. And But yeah, I like one of the two bigs being the difference maker that takes us to the next level.
I'll do this, just to get on the big man aspect of it, because like I said, we can fully debate this one out. They have separate skill sets, but their problem is the same. Would you agree with that? Malik Williams gets the ball in prime scoring position. He has the hesitation. He has to look around, the survey, and who's jumping and who's not. And for some reason, he doesn't like to explode vertical when there's anybody around, right?
Yeah.
Ryan McMahon breaks that press, or he gets a steal. He makes that bounce pass. Mm-hmm. There's so much time between Malik catching the ball, and it seems like he's loading up so slow, almost like when VJ started, like, really started getting into his funk, how he was just taking, like a layup, it seemed like you were holding your breath longer than you should, right? When he was by himself, you're like, there's an extra motion in the way VJ,
yeah,
Malik, and Steven. There's an extra motion. There's an extra pause. There's an extra something where they don't go straight from Catch, quick dunk.
Yeah.
But they have the ability to do those things in an explosive manner. When nobody's right around them, sometimes they do it, right? But for the most part, they get too many basketballs right at the basket.
Yeah.
That don't just go in. And I don't mean in like the little finger roll because I'm the tallest guy around here. Like, I know that's a problem. I do know that's a problem. Their DNA is used to being playing around short guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It takes them to the end of the game before they start exploding out of their posture. There has to be some desperation to it, you know, but in the regular part of a game, just going from catch to bucket, catch to dunk, because they're not you can tell that because you're not playing around a lot of people that block your dunk.
Yeah.
So that's why they can get away with, you know, loading up slowly and kissing it off the glass. Like, Enoch was fouled, if you remember this play. Enoch was fouled kind of driving to the basket. And when he got to the basket, he did this little under the rim reverse, mm-hmm. right? That's the play where I'm going crazy. Listen, the play was dead.
Sure.
The play was dead. They called foul. He took about one or two dribbles, and then he just did the little fancy finger roll, right? I'm yelling at him because that's a bad habit that you develop. After y'all get fouled, you know how guys, the big men just kind of throw it up there, and then they tap it in, and it misses, then they tap it again, and it misses, and then they, you know, then they just pick up the ball and throw it back over your shoulder. It's like, no, you're not good enough at finishing to just tap the ball in or lay it up. Ray Spalding had that problem, right? You saw Ray Spalding go from not dunking it or doing that little quick flick up, you know, and Ray missed layup sometimes.
Yeah.
And he hit him sometimes. And we watched it for 3 years. We watched him sometimes look good, but that shot was so quick that, what were we saying? Ray had bad hands.
Yeah.
Ray, he's rushing it. He had the same kind of issue. Dating back to when you saw him at Trinity, you were like, but when you saw him on the AAU circuit mm-hmm. where people could block it.
He was a different player.
He was a different guy, right? Yeah. So that's a habit-forming thing. Once those guys realize that you're going to have to dunk this ball and you're going to have to start dunking it on somebody to be respected at all, to count on a finish, you're going to have to use some more energy and dunk it. You cannot be lazy. Are they out of shape?
Who, the bigs?
Yep.
Maybe a little. Maybe a little. But I will say this. I think that your bigs, if I'm retorting a little bit, I think the bigs are good enough to get you to the Final Four now.
As they are now.
I think they are. I think when you have
they shoot so well.
They do. And I think you have – it's tough to argue that, though. I'm trying – because I think the two answers we gave you –
see, I think it stops at the second round. Because you don't, if you're not getting those buckets,
but it stops in the second round. See, this is what I'm saying. I think it stops in the second round because as of right now, you need your bigs to play so well because you don't know when the game's going to hit when your guards aren't going to be able to get the ball to half court. And I need my bigs to be so solid. To me, if a guy like Darius Perry becomes a serious weapon.
During the game, not in the end.
Yeah, during the game. And Clemson was the first time I felt like he was.
If you're doing Darius end of the game, then I would disagree. But if you're saying Darius end game Darius,
yes.
Ball handle, because I'm telling you, when you go back and watch the game, when Darius was out there and he was playing confident and Christian Cunningham was resting off the ball, he got so much more aggressive.
He did.
Yep.
He did. And Darius, by the way, another thing Darius can bring to the table. This is a play I haven't heard anybody talk about yet. Did you see Darius go after the ball when it come off the rim?
The missed dunk? That was fun. I laughed.
He can do some things that's a skill set that nobody on the team has. He has something that not one person
VJ.
On this but VJ is just not doing it right at this point. The way he comes off, the way he comes after that ball
mm-hmm. –
as high, the whole crowd went, like, I mean, it was like, oh, I mean, when you see that, and if he can become a guy, to me, you won that game. I'm telling you, the play of the game was when Darius stepped up and knocked the three down on the wing. It was a play that finally took it from 1-4. And you said, okay, all right, we can actually
win
this game.
What about Coach Mack making that decision to keep Quan Four on the bench after Darius Perry hit that?
He rode with Darius against Duke, too.
Right. Like, make sure you always acknowledge that these are game-winning moves that he's making. That was why I kind of went on that rant of be careful about pointing out what this team doesn't have. And, again, we don't have that problem. I'm saying take this perspective with you elsewhere when you're enjoying basketball, you know?
Yeah.
Like do a a full analysis of what you think.
Yeah.
Don't just look for your, you know, your nitpicking.
And I just think if you add, if he becomes down the stretch a guy that starts to hit threes like that, like starts to be the guy that, okay, we're up two.
I don't need him to be super scoring guy.
No. But if you can say, okay, Darius breaks the press, he gets the ball up, he makes a smart play. And when you're up two and you just can't pull away from Boston College on the road, and it's like, ah, man, they're scoring. And then Darius hits two threes. And you're like, oh, God, whew, we're up eight. Thank you, Darius. Like, I mean, that guy right there is what can get you to the Final Four. You can. And I think may.
You're really playing with fire with Darius Perry. Quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Middays with Marcus Maben on 93.9 The Ville is broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Now, here's Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back. It's Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station, people. This is Kentucky weather. And you know how you deal with Kentucky weather? You buy a new train comfort system from DFH this month only. You can get a 15-month special financing on a qualified train comfort system. It's hard to stop a train. So call DFH 968-6222 or look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Visit dfhcompany.com for complete program eligibility dates, details, and restrictions subject to credit approval. And I mean that, people, dfh.com, because this Kentucky weather is a problem. Steve, how many people around you starting getting the snivels and they say, oh, it's this weather?
So, oh, yeah.
My allergies.
I do.
No, you're sick.
I know.
I'm
like, oh, man, the weather, my foot hurts. And
Why are people just so embarrassed to admit that you're just sick?
I don't know. I'm like that. I'm never sick.
See, now.
Even though I feel it like all through that season, I'm like, oh, man, I'm not sick.
Listen, you know my solution to any snivel, anything.
That pineapples.
Listen,
which coincidentally,
insert whatever joke, use your imagination at what I'm thinking. I can tell that my diet has been consisting of pineapples.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just that's it.
I know.
Cashews and pineapples.
I do. I ate a lot. I ate a lot of almonds. This weekend, I had two meals that, since we are all kind of foodies here,
right?
I had two meals that made me happy. One was at Aspen Creek. It's a meal called the Monte Crisco. It is like ham.
T-O or C-O? Cristo.
Cristo, yeah.
Or Crisco.
Cristo.
Okay.
Crisco. Cristo. Not like the oil.
Yeah. Listen, I wasn't trying to be snarky, but I thought.
Gosh.
No, listen.
You're worse than Twitter.
No, listen. No, here's the thing. I really thought that if they called this Crisco, I am going to go there. And listen, the one we like to go to, it's not even open yet. I will go over there.
Yeah, man. Yep.
Y'all need to change this menu right now because somebody doesn't know that it's not Crisco.
Listen. It is like ham, turkey, cheese, all this, a sandwich cut into fours. It's deep fried with raspberry preservatives and powdered sugar.
There's no way you're getting healthy.
Dude.
If you have that in the middle of any kind of illness.
I know.
Like,
well, the other thing I had was a little better. It was the Olive Garden, man, the stuffed pastas. <It's>
like, my God.
Oh, man.
Listen, that's one of those you have, and then you make sure you take the leftovers, and the leftovers another meal.
Oh, it's the unlimited. So I even told the lady, I said, look, so I'm going to be honest with you. I ate one. I was like, I'm going to take I'm taking one home. Taking home my wife. I don't want this.
Did you throw your wife in the middle of that one? Oh, this is for her.
Yes. Yes.
No. Listen. My cheat meal was the Arby's breakfast sausage wrap, hash browns, sausage, egg, cheese.
It's legit.
Yeah, I had one of those. And here's the thing: I couldn't even finish it.
Yeah.
That's why I knew, like, yeah, that Marcus, you actually have to take some care of yourself this week.
Yeah, that is true. Hawaiian chicken's good, so.
But we are all rolling along. I'll ask this question. I want to add this to our conversation before we went into commercial break.
Okay.
You kind of talked about Darius Perry being the X factor, and I thought that, you know, the X factor of a tournament run or the deep – we used Final Four, but you meant tournament run. Tournament run means second weekend and having a chance to go to that Elite mm-hmm. Eight. I say Stephen Enoch, Brian with Malik Williams. Texter says, and I want to know your feeling on this. Texter says Jordan Warra's offensive decision making is the real difference.
I mean, has he been terrible? No, it was. I thought it was, but it wasn't. Has he been terrible?
We can live with it, but there's a lot of possessions where he takes a shot that doesn't look like it even has a chance. And I don't think lately he's been hitting enough of those crazy heat check shots. It's almost like, okay, I can listen. The reason I'm going to kind of argue myself here, shoot or shoot.
Yeah.
The team expects him to shoot that ball. So they're kind of fighting to get in position. Now, if I looked at the analytics and I looked at the how many rebounds do we get off of a, let's just say a less than a shot that you can get anywhere during this possession. Well, okay, we'll just say that. We'll put any shot that he can get at any time. Look, we'll put that in the bad shot category just for sake of argument, right? I would look and see how many of those shots do we have somebody in position to rebound, right?
Okay.
And yeah. I'll say the shot that there's nobody in position to rebound is the one you can't have. Like, I don't.
But do you want to tell Jordan not to shoot?
No, I absolutely do not. And this is me who's talking here. Yeah. This is Marcus Maben, Coach Crum level, you know, use the glass or you're coming out the
yeah,
game.
Yeah.
Use that. I don't even care if you hit it.
Yeah.
It's a bad habit to not use the glass on the angle. Come sit with me for a second. So that's the guy who's saying this. I would never tell him as a coach not to shoot, right? But as an assistant, I might say, hey, man, double check and see if somebody's in position to rebound.
Yeah.
You know, like I would almost try to subconsciously work it out there. I know you can hit that. Actually, I would talk about his balance more than his shot selection. Because if he's on balance, I don't care who's guarding him, you know, shoot the ball. As long as they're not going to block it. But when you're kind of doing that step back and it's really off balance because it's kind of quicker than you normally do, you know?
No, I think you're right in what you're saying. I'm just, man, it's just hard to tell Jordan not to take a shot. Right. You know, because, I mean, against Clemson, you know, but that's the difference.
But again, you can get that shot all the time. That's why I prefaced it with.
I mean, he usually hits two of those three against Clemson.
Oh, he got good looks against Clemson.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
No,
I mean,
I'm talking about the question that or the comment that the texter had.
Yeah, no, I that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, but I think a lot of people, I mean, you know, I got two different texts in the first half against Clemson. It was like, man, Jordan needs to quit shooting the bad shots. And I'm like, yeah, but what are you considering Jordan's decision-making then? Because Jordan usually hits a couple of those. He just didn't hit them. I mean, and you were kind of saying, you know, he's kind of fading, you know, he's kind of
yeah,
this and
it's
that.
A good look.
Yeah, but I mean,
but maybe it's like, okay, if you have to rush that shot, then you know what I'm saying, like,
yeah,
like pause on it.
Sure,
yeah,
like, but I think we would disagree. I would just have to hear the full context of what somebody meant by Jordan's decision making, because I think I would have disagreed Saturday when somebody texted me and said, Jordan, man, Jordan's playing, he's just terrible, taking terrible shots, and I don't think he's taking terrible shots at all.
Is Brian, do you have us loaded up on this one, or do I not see it? Oh, never mind.
Oh, okay. It looked like, that's weird. It usually that unknown don't come up unless they're on there. Whatever. But yeah, so that would be, that would just be my retort to that. I don't know.
Two Jordan Warriors. Yeah. I mean, you gotta let a score like that.
Yeah, I mean,
but again, don't think about
Jordan doesn't handle the ball great. I mean, that's just something he's gonna have to work on. That's why I don't think he'll be in the league necessarily next year.
See, I think when he's aggressive, he handles the ball well.
I mean, he's
like most people, I guess, you know.
I'm talking though, I'm looking in the NBA. I don't know. I'm looking in the NBA. I think it's why Jordan will be back next year, but it's also why I think Jordan will be a top 20 pick next year. If he comes back. I really do.
Why are you talking about Jordan Warren in the NBA right now? We're battling for a 4 seed in the ACC conference right now. We have 2 games against Virginia. We have Syracuse, Jim Boeheim and Syracuse less than 48 hours away.
This is true. Leading into Duke,
Steve's conversation and his criticism about Jordan Wara is his ball handling at the NBA level.
Because I think they're going to win the championship next year, and I need him to come back. That's why. You want my honest answer? I think Louisville's going to win the national championship
you
next year.
You think I didn't know that's why you said that, Steve?
I know. I can't help it.
Do you think for 1 second I didn't know that every aspect – In the recesses of your brain, you were considering the long term ramifications of what Jordan Wara's ball handling will mean to next year, the Louisville's championship run.
Yes, I mean, because my son yesterday, he's like, "Man, where's WrestleMania at next year? We should go." And I look, and they're like, they're talking about it's gonna be in Florida, and I remember I was like,
"Yeah,
gonna have to look at that date. I think we're gonna be in Atlanta next year."
Does he want? He okay? He wants to hit WrestleMania.
Yeah, we're going to hit that up soon, you know, over the next couple of years. But I was like, we're going to be in the national championship game next year. I can't do that. I don't even care if they're close. I don't care if it's in Jacksonville and Atlanta. I need my weekend, man. I got to be in Atlanta. I got to be doing my thing.
There's one more little separate side topic I wanted to ask you about before we – because here's the thing, people. We have to give you Coach Max – press conference. We have to give you his attitude, because here's the thing. I tell people these things, and we have, Steve and I have jointly decided that if I tell you something in pregame or during the week, during middays with Marcus Maben, you don't believe me until he follows it up with something. And this is not information that I get from him directly. It's analysis of games. Go back and listen to him. But listen, we got one more conversation I wanted to ask Steve about. And before that, Bill Escoins, the Suns Collision Center, gives us our next caller. D, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Man, I know y'all got stuff to do. Listen, one quick question. Marcus, Christian Cunningham goes to the lane. He picks up his dribble. Can't he just keep on dribbling it and then, you know, figure out where he wants to go next? Why does he always have to pick up his dribble? And, you know, Peyton Stephen had the same problem his freshman year, and they fixed it. And I'm just – That's all I got. So, you know, give me an answer.
No.
Have a good one.
Listen, I appreciate the call. This is the same Paul conversation. These players look like different people on the court. You're asking him to fix something that he's been doing his entire life, you know? Like, I don't know if he's necessarily been doing that his entire life or if it's being coached, but that's a hard thing to – how many times has he stopped in the lane and somebody trailed around for the three-pointer?
Mm-hmm.
He gets in the lane, stops, reverse pivot. Here comes Ryan McMahon curling around. Here comes Jordan Wara. Teams are starting to look for that three-pointer, you know, as soon as he picks up his dribble. Everybody's head's coming up. Where's this guy circling around? Now, what's going to happen is when he stops that dribble – and looks around, instead of Jordan Wara coming around to shoot that three-pointer, he's going to cut straight to the basket, and it's going to be easy drop, and Jordan Wara is going to be dunking on somebody. A quick note, for those of you who talked about, you know, still not being able to handle, Louisville beats their press in a late game, you know, urgent situation, gets right into the offense, gets that ball to the sideline, Malik or Steven come to set the pick, Jordan gets a little back pick rub, little shuffle cut rub,
yeah,
right? gets a dunk and one.
Mm-hmm.
Was that not the sweetest late game execution you've seen?
Yeah, no, that was a sweet play, man.
And it started at the beginning of a press break.
Yeah. That was twice down the stretch there. They broke the press. See, that is one thing I want to say that didn't go, that I didn't feel like got enough credit.
That's why I wanted to make that point clear to you, that it wasn't not being able to break the press that hurt. You know, that tie up on Dwayne was just Dwayne's mistake over there in the sideline. Yeah. Coach Mack talked about him just holding the ball there, but again, that's the aggression you got to have that makes the difference.
Because they broke the press twice in a big-time situation there. Again, which to me goes back to, I'm not sure the press is the issue as much as the athletes that Duke presents is the
Florida
issue.
State.
Florida State's a team. And again, I did it last week, but there's only about four or five teams that do that.
And again, everybody, I hear you. I hear you. We'll guard the guy a little closer. That's all fine and dandy until you foul him on a three-point line and they shoot three free throws with the clock stopped. And Seth Greenberg is over there talking about how undisciplined this team is, who just fouled a three-point shooter with 32 seconds to go, and you're up six. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens. So I understand why they run out there and they give up the shot without getting a lot of pressure. You know, like, it's a tough thing to do. Or you run up on them tight at the three-point line, they blow around you, get a quick layup or an and-one on Malik, and now you're giving up something in comebacks. You assume they can't off the dribble, come down, pull up in your face for a three-pointer.
Yeah.
This is not a good three-point shooting team. For them to all of a sudden hit three-pointers late, that's a little bit of, you know, Louisville has a reputation of giving up leads, so we're a little confident.
And, I mean, we say it all the time, the easiest shot in basketball is when you're on a comeback.
When you're down six.
And make it a little tighter when it gets to one or two, but right. but
down six, down six or seven with 33 seconds to go, I could hit something, you know, falling into the stands because it's like there's absolutely no pressure on that shot. Last thing I wanted to talk about before we got out of here or before we gave that conversation. I wrote down a sentence in my notes. It didn't have to be a big, long conversation, but I was just curious. I purposely didn't say this to you. I didn't ask. It's just a thought. You and I discuss rankings all the time. What's national perception?
Yeah.
Now that we have the top four seeding announcement things, the rankings are becoming extinct.
Yeah.
Bracketology is driving the rankings extinct.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because I care much more. I've been searching back and forth today for Lenardi to update bracketology, which he still hasn't. God. The rankings come out today.
They're done.
I don't really care.
They're done. They're absolutely done.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the Tennessee was a, what, 3 or 4 point underdog in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Rup factor, right?
Sure.
But here's the thing. It was like, oh, I wonder what they're going to be ranked. And then I said, no, I don't. No, first I said, I wonder what we're going to be ranked.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, I don't care what we're going to be ranked because our.
Did we fall off the four line? Five line?
Yes.
Like that's what I
care
about.
Yes. Yeah. Like I've graduated out of the world of ranking other than early season. This is what they think of us.
Yeah.
You know, like what I look like in the mirror is all fun and games because I like or hate what I look like in the mirror, right? But you can hate what you look like in the mirror. And if you go out and about and people just like, oh man, your style's awesome. You're fresh. You're fly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That,
what you saw in the mirror is going to change.
Yes.
That's how I kind of phrase the ranking versus the four seed.
No, I think you're right. I think you're spot on that because I really do care more about where we are on the seed line as I do to where we are ranked, man.
Right, like what's really happening out there.
But with that said, I don't think they'll fall super far, even though today will be a very nice test because everybody around the level one. So how far do they fall? I think they're only going to fall to about 18th or so. And I think if so, that's a big test on kind of 18, 19, saying, look, people know this team's good.
I can't believe I don't care.
But I agree with you. Yeah. I don't care what they're ranked. I really don't. I want to see bracketology.
You think Matt cares?
No, he cares. If you got him in a true room, he cares about where my tournament seed is.
Let's listen to this Coach Mack post game, and you tell me tomorrow if he cares or not.
I would like to announce my retirement as a college basketball coach. It's been real, Louisville. First of all, a very, very hard-fought battle. You know, Clemson's got, I think, the second-best rated defense in our league. And their physicality, especially in the first half, you know, knocked us back. I thought our defense was every bit as good. You know, we made a point of trying to keep Elijah Thomas's touches in the paint down as best we could. He's as good of a big as there is in our league. And, you know, probably saw that in the last, you know, 5-8 minutes. He does a great job of sealing, and we didn't continue that trend all the way through, limiting his paint touches. But it was a hard game to score. You know, when you miss a shot against Clemson, they're not going to race it back up and try to attack. I'm going to play that tennis match. And, you know, I give our kids credit for being able to withstand that mental grind. We're going to play a couple other teams are going to do that to us as well, and not let it diminish our defensive effort. I know what you're going to ask about. I thought in the very beginning what got us that lead was our ability to attack the pressure. And result in some good things. You know, we are able to get over the half-court stripe, get into a set play, which resulted for a Jordan dunk and one, gave more separation. I think the very next time they pressed us, we did exactly what we wanted to. We flashed a guy. The wing flew down the floor, and Ryan makes a great pass, I think, to Malik, and he dunks the ball. So, you know, down the stretch, again, we have to figure out ways to close games better. And, you know, I told our team, you know, mental errors and physical errors cannot be tolerated in winning time. It's the first time our guys have ever been in positions where they are closing games. And what I mean by that, like, they're on the floor. They're in the moment. They're closing the game. And so, you know, we had maybe against Florida State and Duke, maybe two of the toughest locker rooms that I've been in a regular season. And I'm sure to a certain extent, those ghosts were probably in our guys' minds a little bit. But we just have to be stronger with the ball. That's all I can tell you. We have to, you know, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Dwayne hunches over the ball. It's like I told him, you know, you have to be able to pivot and move the ball so they can't just reach in and get an easy jump ball. So, you know, we'll get better because of it. I tell you this, I might have retired had we not blocked that shot at the very end. Guys got to be able to stand up, though, when we're breaking a press and not fall down like they're walking down to a wine cellar.
Coach, it seemed like there was not a lot of energy from the team, especially early. It seemed like it was a lot of one-on-one, not a lot of off.
I don't agree with that. They're a team that's really hard to extend, you know, with ball screen action, which, you know, we're a team that, you know, tries to get the ball in the paint. Our bigs were very ineffective on offense. And so, you know, while I think that, you know, we missed some shots, and we tried to stretch them and spread them. They're a team that doesn't exert a lot of energy outside the arc. So it's hard to stretch Clemson. And we were trying to do it in different ways, and we couldn't. And then, you know, you go one for nine. I think there were some decent looks. And, again, they tried to take the air out of the ball coming to offense. So, again, you're going to play some games like that. But I thought if our energy level was bad, we would have been porous on defense.
Yeah, no doubt. And as far as just do you think there was any feeling sorry for themselves after the Duke letdown? Was that a part of what happened today?
I don't know about that choice of words of feeling sorry for ourselves. But, you know, when you invest a lot and you love your teammates and you want your team to win, yeah, it hurts a hell of a lot. But I don't think they felt sorry for ourselves, maybe in the immediacy of the game. But, you know, I thought we sort of wiped that out, you know, over the last couple of days. And look forward to a team that was just as desperate as Louisville.
Coach, speaking of the last couple of days, I know that you didn't watch the Duke film. But
yes, I did.
Oh, sorry. Well,
I watched it several times.
Okay. What did you tell the team, I guess, today as the game was going on, as it wasn't a sense of them, I guess, playing with the urgency that you probably wanted them to, or to get everything situated to get this win?
Well, I thought we did play with the urgency. I think offensively we weren't very good, but I thought our defensive effort. They shoot 38%. You know, their 3-point percentage at the end of the game is 46, but they make two or three threes in the last two or three minutes. Their whole identity is to go inside. You know, I thought, again, for the better part of the game, our team was locked in defensively. Like I said, they're the number two defensive team in the country. They play very slow. So it's going to be hard at times to look like a game that sort of high-flying and guys moving around. And, again, maybe that contributes to what you think is a lack of energy.
Chris, you mentioned Dwayne's posture, but there have been a couple other guys who have fallen too. Is that also posture with them and just how they're carrying themselves, trying to catch those passes and get open? Or
no, I meant, when I said posture, I'm talking about the tie-up. You know, if I hold this water bottle like this and you come over and grab it and I don't move it, you're going to be able to grab it. If you come over and I go like this, it'll be tough for you.
Chris, Jordan had two blocks today. You know,
the big one was the second one.
Right.
So we really worked on when we can't break a press to come out of nowhere and block shots.
I was gonna ask you if the block in blocks is in any way indicative of how far he's come defensively this year, or.
Jordan is so much better defensively here in February than he was in October, and it's not even close. You know, part of it's just game experience. You know, he's a very he's a very thoughtful kid. He loves his teammates, and you know, when you're out there for an extended period of time where your teammates are leaning on you and you let them down, he's one that's going to feel accountable to those guys. And I think he learned that over time, and he's gotten fundamentally better on the defensive end. His technique is much better. His desire is much better. And so we need him to be a good – you know, if you have one guy that lets down or doesn't do what the other four are doing, you're not going to be a good defensive team.
Coach, you talked earlier about the fact your team just has to find a way to close out games. Are you concerned that these late game breakdowns might be becoming a trend for your team? If you are, aren't, and why?
Yeah, I'm always concerned. I'm concerned about everything in our program. So, you know, the only thing that we can do is learn from those experiences. It's nice to learn in a win. As I said, you know, we took baby steps forward today. You know, if you go back and you watch everything that happened in the last 3 minutes, the first 2.5 minutes were really good. You know, you're talking about quick strikes against a team that generally doesn't give you quick strikes. We were able to break their pressure, like I said, run a set play. We got a Jordan dunk right at the rim and an and one. And then the next time down the floor, you know, we throw it to the middle. Dwayne or whoever it was, I think it was Dwayne, hits Ryan. You know, now we get a 2-on-1. Boom, we capitalize. And so we just have to be able to carry those positive experiences all the way through. Yeah, I'm always concerned. It's something we're going to continue to work on and get better at.
Coach, as far as the play, Darius Perry, just back-to-back games where he's played well, do you sense his confidence just coming back a little more?
He did a much better job, you know, these last couple weeks, both with his effort in practice and his play on the floor. You know, he got tested a few times on the defensive end, and I thought he did a terrific job of guarding the ball and not letting it get in the lane. It's good to see. He's a much better shooter than he's shown all year. And, you know, I'm not dumb. I know that's a big part of confidence. When you feel like, you know, you're not playing as many minutes, it's harder to be as confident as a guy that plays 30, 34 minutes. But, you know, that's where he's at, and he's working his way out of it. And I thought his contribution tonight was awesome.
How was CC able to be so effective in the second half?
He has a toughness about him. You know, like when I met with him after the Duke game on our day off, and I just said, hey, tell me what you're thinking. And, you know, he said, Coach, I screwed up. And he didn't use the word screwed. You know, he said it 3 or 4 times. And, you know, in a day and age where everybody wants to blame someone else and say, well, if he'd have gotten open or if he'd have done this, you know, when you have ownership like that, you're able to move forward. CeCe's an awesome kid, and he is a general, and I just think he's mentally tough. And we need a couple other guys to
you know, keep following the leader, and we're going to get better because of it. Hey, we got one of the toughest schedules in the entire country. We got 18 wins, and felt like we punted three games away. And so make no mistake, we got to get better in closing games, and we will. But as I said the other night, man, I love this group. They've done everything we've asked and more, and they've exceeded a lot of people's expectations outside of our locker room.
Quick follow-up on Perry there. About midway through the second half, you had Quan at the scorer's table, and then all of a sudden Perry hits that three. You know, was that just – once you saw him hit that three, did that just give you confidence to leave him out on the court?
Yes. He'd been in there for a while, and so it was really his turn to come out. But knowing that Darius, you know, like, hasn't shot the ball well, the last thing I wanted to do is once he hits a three, hey, you know, get him out of there. It's like, you know, he's feeling good about himself. He's really, you know, contributing. And so, you know, Darius isn't a guy that gets tired. Now, if it's Enoch or somebody that gets a little winded, whether it went in or not, probably got to pull him out. But Darius could, you know, he's an energizer bunny, and so I want him to continue to feel good about when he's out on the floor.
Chris, Ryan had two huge assists there toward the end of the game. Do you consider him a good passer, great passer, terrific passer? How do you look at his passing ability?
He's a good passer. You know, sometimes he gets a little too cutesy with his passes. You know, looks one way and throws the other. And, you know, he threw the ball out of bounds tonight on the break, if you remember. So, and I think that's just a function of, like I told him, you know, you don't always have to be the cutest guy in the room. You know, make the right, solid, strong play. His defense has come miles. He's helped our team win a lot of games. But, yeah, I think he's got a really good mind for the game. He sees plays develop just like he did when Jordan curled around and got open. And he had the presence of mind to drop the defender's hands before he threw it over his hands so that we could, you know, get that play.
Great. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, guys.